Last week, Pastor Eddie introduced our new Lenten sermon series on facing our fears. And for the series, we're using biblical events that occurred as Jesus drew near and near to the cross in this Lenten season. Events that were, especially for the disciples, unusual, challenging, and sometimes downright fearful. We hear such reactions by the disciples in such passages as Luke 18, 31 to 33. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." Mark 9:32 shows a typical reaction. It says, "But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it." In Mark 10:32, it says, "They were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid." And in John 20:19, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders." Followers of Jesus, all through their time with Jesus, you hear them express their fears regarding food and clothing and lodging and plans in the future, fears of his words regarding his fate, fears of the events that were fashioning around them, and fears of their fate at his death. And as Jesus progressed toward the cross, the disciples were on an emotional roller coaster, so much they didn't understand, and so much that brought fear to them. Last week, Pastor Eddie shared a message on the fear of commitment. In Luke 9, he shared how different men came up to him, each saying they wanted to follow him. And the first man was challenged by Jesus about his fear of commitment because he was too much of a casual follower. The second man was challenged by Jesus about his fear of commitment because he was too much of a cautious follower. And the third man was challenged by Jesus about his fear of commitment because he was too much of a careful follower. And we learned what Jesus demands is that we overcome the fear of commitment and offer ourselves to him as totally committed followers. Today we're going to move around some of the movements on Jesus' road to the cross by sharing in the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry passage of Scripture. The reason we're doing that is that most of the fearful events happen after this entry and before the cross. So we're kind of moving this ahead. As is recorded in Luke 19, we discover another fear, the fear of rejection. You heard in Luke 19, 28 to 39, that Jesus sent them to get the colt that was tied up. And I love that part. It says, "Just tell the owner of the colt the Lord needs it. He'll give it to you." They went and said, he says, "What are you doing?" They said, "Well, the Lord needs it." You don't hear anything else. Just suddenly, they were bringing the colt to Jesus. And Jesus had that. It says in 35, "Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds and power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.'" Boy, what a glorious day. What a wonderful day that was. People lining the streets to see Jesus, throwing their cloaks on the path before him as before a king. And John adds in his gospel, the crowd, after they got rid of the cloaks, turned to the palm trees and tearing off the branches and waving them as they praised his coming and then throwing them before him as before a king. It says, praising God joyfully with a loud voice and praising him, the glory to God in the highest. They were praising, as it says, for the power that they had seen in Jesus' mighty works. He had healed leprosy with a touch. He had made the blind man see and the deaf hear and the lame walk. He had commanded the unclean spirits and they obeyed him. He had stilled storms and walked on water and turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into a meal for thousands. And they shouted, "Blessed is this King who comes in the name of the Lord, for surely now this King, this Messiah, now he would deliver them from their Roman oppressors." No oppression, no rejection to fear here yet, is there? No, everything's great. But there soon would be. Within hours, Jesus' enemies would take over his life. And the same voices that were celebrating and praising him would be rejecting him and crying, "Crucify him!" So is this the fear of rejection we're talking about today? Is it Jesus' fear of being rejected that we are referring to? No. Jesus does not fear being rejected for his sake. Jesus is not wrapped up in being popular or having sensitive feelings within himself. No, the fear of rejection that comes into play in this event is the fear that we should have of rejecting Jesus, the Jesus who came to seek and save us all. God sent his Son, and Jesus came not for his own benefit, but totally for our benefit. And as Jesus rode through that rejoicing, cheering crowd, you know, you could just see their eyes and hear their expressions and hear the cheers. You just in your mind's eye imagine what's going on here. And as you look to Jesus, how would you imagine his eyes would be all delighted with joy, and he's maybe doing the big football touchdown thing he's doing? No. Because he rides through that crowd, he's first of all met by his first wave of rejection. In Luke 19, 39 to 45, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." I love that. This is a heaven-designed moment. This is an announcement, an event, a moment when God is providing love and forgiveness and peace for all of humanity of all time. This time is so eternally and world-changing that if every voice was silent, the same creation that had been groaning since entrance into the world would shout out. This hard, seemingly lifeless stone, all those stones around him, would shout out in celebration of the Savior who has come. And for Jesus, you can ask them, I can ask them to stop, but the stones will cry out. This is a monumentum. This is a momentous event. And then we read that Jesus' eyes are not on the crowd. Jesus' eyes are not on the waving branches. Jesus' eyes are not just excited with joy. He's not doing all kinds of exciting things on the back of the donkey. But if you look in the corner of his eyes, as he comes over the ridge and he looks down across the city of Jerusalem, tears start coming out of his eyes and down his cheeks. It says in Luke 19, 41 to 44, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it." And then Jesus makes a stunning statement to the city of Jerusalem. "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." Do you hear and do you fear the rejection? Again, Jesus is not speaking of his feelings being hurt by being rejected. What Jesus is weeping about, what breaks God's heart, is that God can so love the world that he gives his one and only sinless Son, the Son who comes loving and teaching and healing, performing miracles and walking and riding into this world as the most wonderful, loving, sacrificing Savior of all time. And with all of God's love poured out, and all of God, Jesus poured out as the ultimate and sinless sacrifice for all of humanity, and then to have many to not open their hearts to the loving and dying Savior, but instead to reject him. And in that rejection, to choose to reject God's gift, and instead to choose pain and destruction over cleansing and peace is heartbreaking. Because the leaders and people of Jerusalem will choose instead unbelief and hardness of heart, devastating judgments will come. I think a good point we learn from this is, first of all, nations need to fear a rejecting of God. You hear the words, if you had known, even you in your day, the things that make for your peace. You did not know the time of your salvation. Because of rejection by the leaders and people of Jerusalem, a mighty army would come, the Romans, to attack Jerusalem and destroy the city and people. And 40 years later, in 70 AD, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, led by Titus. And after an attack of 143 days, 600,000 Jews had died and thousands were taken captive. The Jewish historian Josephus said, during that time, rivers of blood flowed through the gates of the city as the beloved temple was burned to the ground. And because the gold of the temple melted into the crevices of the temple stones, they disassembled the temple stone by stone, fulfilling the prophecy that no stone would be left upon another. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side and level you. They will not leave one stone upon the other, because you did not know the time of your visitation. On that Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, children were shouting and laughing and dancing and waving branches. And 40 years later, Jesus saw and wept about the devastation that was going to be coming to that city. He saw the spectacular temple, the strong city walls, but he looked beyond that day and saw the piles of rubble, the rubble of people who rejected God. Pray for our world. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray that our world, nation, and leaders, pray that all will realize the love and the forgiveness and the wisdom and the peace that Jesus rode in to bring. Every person, every nation has time to respond to the loving good news of Christ, or to refuse it, to reject it. And in rejecting, judgment will come. Nations need to fear a rejection of God. A man from a foreign country moved to America. He was watching the evening news, and after watching and hearing the many sad events going on in the nation, in the world, he began to weep. His American friend tried to console him, saying, "Don't worry, after you've been here a while, you'll get used to it." He said, "Yes, I know, that's why I'm weeping." Compare such rejection with such as 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their land and heal their land. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Nations need to fear a rejection of God. Secondly, churches need to fear a rejection of God. Churches should fear a rejection of Jesus. I'm going to tell you a couple of sad statements, sad truths. Most churches are not proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ for people to come to know Jesus as Savior. And secondly, churches are closing every day. Out of the 250,000 Protestant churches in America, 200,000 are either stagnant with no growth or declining. 80%, that's 80% of the churches in America. 3,500 people leave the church every single day. 4,000 churches close their doors every year. We have less than half the number of churches today than there were 100 years ago in this nation. Why? Some churches have lost a high view of Scripture and Jesus to where they have nothing to really teach anymore. Some because the churches have a Jesus of their own creation and they've rejected the real Jesus who forgives and cleanses. Some because instead of the church being a place of new birth and heart surgery and changed lives, they become just another social club. And there are a lot of social clubs out there to get involved in. You don't have to go to church. And too many have chosen to reject the true, loving, powerful, glorified, life-changing, deep, peace-bringing Jesus. And Jesus weeps. There are 7 billion people in this world. Take away the number that claim to be Christian, and we will still have 4.5 billion people in this world and all around us who are misled, misinformed, or what are worse yet, in outright rejection of Jesus. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How sad that millions around us and around the world do not know Jesus yet. How sad that they don't know God's love in Christ. How sad that they don't know God's forgiveness and cleansing and rebirth and inner presence and peace and eternal life in heaven that he brings. And Jesus weeps. But then again, there are still a solid number of faithful churches who are true to God, his word, and his Savior, who brings us present and eternal peace. There are also a few prayerful and mature churches who are actually open to God moving them to merge for greater ministry. Can you believe that? But Jesus is riding around proclaiming he's here to bring his peace. We should also fear rejection of the new that God is doing in his church, including ours. Story about an old village in Spain. People heard the king was planning to visit there. No king had ever visited there before, but they were excited he was coming, but they had nothing that they really could bring to show their adoration to honor the king. So they got together and decided, what can we do to honor the king? So they realized they all had their own little vineyards, and they made their own little wines, very good wines, they felt. So why didn't they all make wine and bring it together, put it into one big vat of wine, and give the king a taste of the best wine that they could ever provide? So they all did that. They all went out and they made all their wine. And then the king came, and they took him ceremoniously to a place in the city square, and they gave him a silver cup and invited him to draw wine from the barrel, the barrel that they had all brought their vessels and poured all into at the top. And he filled his cup from the spigot, and when he drank the wine, he tasted water. Now, had there been a reverse miracle of wine being turned into water? No. What had happened is that each of them had decided, this wine is so good, I'm going to keep it. I'll just bring a jar of water down there, and everybody else's wine will be so good that it'll cover up my water. And all that was there was water. So it is if we do not give our best to God, the King who rides into our lives and in our church. We have so much going on, so much excitement in what God can and will do within his body. Our King is here. We bring praises with him with the crowd, but are we giving our best to him here? The best of our worship, the best of our growing, the best of our serving, the best of our tithing. Does our giving show that we are really followers and praisers or rejectors? Are we gladly giving our best of our sincere adoration to adore the King who rides in? Let's remember something. This is an exciting time for this new church. I know there's a lot of work. We had a deacon meeting yesterday, and we had a wonderful time, a phenomenal time. And what a great attitude and heart and spirit that was there. The Holy Spirit was definitely in the hearts of everybody there. And everybody left saying, there's a lot of work ahead of us. And there is. There's a lot of adjusting. There's going to be a lot of work. But do you realize what a honor and a joy it is to be here for this? Have you really fathomed that? There's a music minister named Charles Billingsley that wrote a piece of music. It's a short little piece. And he talks about how It's at the end of church, it's over, everybody's gone, but he stayed in the room. And he just wanted to thank God. And I have them playing that song, please. I want you to just hear this.
The church is empty, but I just can't go home. So I linger for a moment in the dark all alone. And I'm so overwhelmed at how your spirit moved. I'm just glad that I was in the room. So many stories, and no one knows but you. The silent prayers answered tonight in these pews. And I don't understand how you do. Just glad that I was in the room. Great God in heaven, how wonderful you are. Oh, you're still changing lives, and it humbles my heart that you would allow someone like a small part. So tonight as I stand here, I'm reminded once more that when any good happens, it's not about me, Lord. It's enough that I stand in the shadow. Just glad I was in the room.
As I stand here, I'm reminded once more that when any good happens, it's not about me, Lord. Amen. It's enough that I stand in the shadow of you. I'm just glad I was in the room. I was allowed to be in the room. I was invited to be in the room. I was blessed to be in the room. I was a part of being in the room when you, God, began a new thing. Amen. I mean, think about that. Should Jesus tarry, this moment now will be in 50 years what people will say. Boy, remember them. Look how they love Jesus. Look how they worked hard for Jesus. Churches should fear rejection of Jesus, and we should fear rejection of the new that God is doing in his church. We should also fear rejecting Jesus as our peace. Jesus came not just for Jerusalem's peace, but for the people of Jerusalem and for our peace. He said that. You're missing the peace. Peace in and through all of life's circumstances. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we all are in need of the peace that Jesus brings. So many times we insist on looking in the wrong places. We go through all kinds of activities and all kinds of false things to try to bring us peace. A man said, my therapist told me the way to true inner peace is to finish what I start. And already today, I finished 2 bags of chips, a chocolate cake, and I feel better already. Those aren't the things that will bring us peace. Jesus wept because people insist on looking everywhere else but to him for inner peace. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus rode into this world so we could have a personal relationship with him through Christ, through his salvation. And when we have him in our hearts, the creator and sustainer of the universe is in us. That should bring us peace. Let me ask you a question. Is there any problem that you can come up with that's so big that God can't fix it? The rhetorical answer is no. Obviously. So there should be a peace about that. Jesus came in to bring us that peace. We should fear rejecting Jesus for seeking peace in anywhere else, but we should have that peace inside of us that to trust him. As Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, way beyond your head, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It'll guard it. We should fear rejecting Jesus as our peace. He is our peace. We also fear rejecting Jesus for your eternity. Just as Jesus rode in and saw Jerusalem was going to reject him, Jesus rode in and his heart was breaking. His tears were coming down his cheeks because he knew their lives would be so empty that they were rejecting what he was bringing to them, that peace he was bringing them. It broke Jesus' heart, and it still does. Unbelief and rejection breaks God's heart, not because it hurts his feelings as much as it seals every person's eternal destiny. People say, I can't believe in a God that would send people to hell. God wants no one to go to hell. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, so nobody would have to go there. He couldn't do any more. But God will not enter a human heart forcibly. He will knock, as he is right now. If there's a refusal, he weeps. People reject Jesus every day for many reasons. Some reasons are ignorance, which means they must hear. Some reasons are selfish, and again, they need to hear. The Prince of Peace has come to town, and they missed him. They rejected him. Like God, they kind of wanted God on their own terms. They wanted a powerful leader, but a God but they didn't want a suffering servant. They wanted a king on a throne wearing a crown, but they got a poor carpenter's son hanging on a cross wearing thorns. They couldn't have God on their own terms, so they sent him back. They rejected him, and he wept for them. And he weeps for any of us who are rejecting him to this day. Every human being should have a deep fear of rejecting God's wonderful gift of Jesus. And Jesus weeps because there will be many who will choose to reject him and the love and peace that he came to bring. He weeps in his passionate pity for those who reject him. Through their own fault and choice, their rejection has deceived them and blinded them. Is Jesus still weeping for you? That can all change today. It's never too late. If you're choosing to reject Jesus as your Savior, you better fear that rejection and open your heart to Jesus. Invite him into your heart. The rest of your eternity and the peace now and forever depends on that. One more challenge. I want us all to begin in our prayer time to pray and weep with Jesus. Weep and pray for our world, for our nation, for our leaders. Weep and pray that they may come to fear rejecting Jesus and the peace that he brings. Weep and pray for our churches, for the wayward, the struggling, for the emerging churches. Weep that we will all follow Jesus and his new church here. Weep and pray for so many of us who, though we know Christ, refuse to turn to him for our peace. Weep and pray for any and all who are rejecting the gift of Jesus. Weep and pray. Weep and pray that all who are rejecting him will realize true peace comes from him. A little more serious message, yes, but the resurrection, the cross before the resurrection is a serious time. Jesus rode in, they're shouting cheers, celebrating hallelujah, and they'll be singing jeering and crucify him. In the movements ahead, you'll see their fears as these things develop. But underneath it all, what they don't understand in their fears is that God is in control. God is in it all. God has seen all this through to the cross and then to the resurrection. As Jesus even told them, these things will happen, and they did not understand, and they were afraid to ask. Nations need to fear a rejection of God. Churches need to fear a rejection of Jesus. We should fear the rejection of the new that God is doing in his church. We should rejoice in the important time we are with Jesus right now in this church. We should fear rejecting Jesus as our peace. We should fear rejecting Jesus for our eternity, and should weep and pray that all of us will know the Jesus who rode in to bring us peace through Christ. Let us pray. Father God, as we have come today, we are reminded of that triumphal entry when Jesus rode in to cheers, and later there would be jeers. But he paused, and he wept for those that would reject him, and just the misery that they would bear because of that rejection. Father, we pray that each person here today will be open our hearts and lives to you. And will, Lord, overcome our objections and our rejections. And that we, Lord, will truly open our hearts to you who bring us the right and to bring us peace. I want to do something new today, something I've done before. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if there are any here who have never invited Jesus into your heart as your Savior, and today you want him to ride into your heart as your Savior, please pray silently these words with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for riding in to die for me. Thank you for bearing my sins on that tree. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart as my Savior. Cleanse me. Let me be born anew as your child. And let me have that eternal peace of knowing you're with me now, and I'll be with you forever. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer, I will only look. Will you please raise your hand so I can thank God for you? Please raise your hand if you prayed that prayer. Thank you. Are there any others? Thank you. Any others? Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for riding into our lives to bring us your peace individually, as a church, as a nation, as a world. Lord, may we all fear rejecting you. And Lord, may we all instead receive you, rejoice in you, and glorify and praise your name now and forevermore, as all God's people say. Amen.